Okay, awesome, 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 awesome. Who's enjoying the messages? Yeah? I know Pastor Jay said last week we don't really have a series. But if you look through, there's a trend that's running through the message, so God's got his own series, amen? But last week we spoke a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And more Pastor Jay spoke about who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, how we got to listen to the Holy Spirit, and how we know that we're speaking to the Holy Spirit. So I thought that a good transition to this week is, let's take a look at the outcome or the, I don't want to say side effects, but the outcome of what it looks like when we are being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so there's a whole range of things that we can look at, but I've just picked out three that I felt this is what God wanted to specify for us this morning. Amen? So we're going to take a look at three things that we've got to be aware of on what it looks like when we obey and following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? All good? Yes? Awesome, 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 awesome. Oh, we're not going to be long because it's only three things. So we're going to give the word, you're going to get some good kai, and then we're going to go home. Amen? Oh, that was a loud amen. Yeah, I still feel like we're very loud. I'll just try and keep the mic down. Awesome. You know, family, one of the things that when we talk about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, if you ask someone, oh, what has God said to you recently, or what has God told you to do, or any direction that God gives you, we tend to kind of default to talking about the church. Yeah? Make sense? So I go, oh, what does God say to you? Oh, you know, I remember this time where God said, I've got to give this person something. Or God said, I've got to pray for this person. Or God said, I've got to do that. Or we talk about things that prevented harm. You know, oh, God said this and I did that. And oh my goodness, I'm so glad I did because I avoided this from happening, right? There's nothing wrong with that. That's how God moves. He speaks to us that way as well. But I truly believe that when it comes to walking with the Holy Spirit, that is secondary to God's full purpose around why he's communicating with us. So the blessings that you give to other people and all of that other stuff is secondary to the Holy Spirit's purpose of why he speaks and communicates to us. His main purpose is to support you on this journey. And then the secondary purpose is as God supports you, you build capacity to support others. So as you grow in your walk and as you get more confident and you grow in your faith, then you start to be able to pray for other people. So when God said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to help you, he was talking about you as an individual. And by the Holy Spirit helping you, you help the church. The church is blessed when you are blessed. The church moves in power and might when you move in power and might. Amen? And so we've kind of got to shift our mindset a little bit there. Yeah? Because it's not about the church and the big work. It's about you and God. Because if we get that right, all the big works and all the other stuff falls into place. Amen? And so when I envision, or when I was going through this word, what I envision God was trying to like get to me is that when we talk about what God has said to you and what God has done to you and how you're listening to the word of God, it's the everyday things that God tells us to do. So for example, as a student, it's you're sitting in a test and you have to answer a question and you really think the answer is A, but God is saying, no, you should circle B. And you're like, no, but I know this answer. And God's like saying, no, circle B. And you think you're like, that's God. You know what I mean? It's like when you're at work and you're writing a letter and you think, this is done, I'm going to send it. And God says, no, don't send it just yet. That's God. Because whether we, you know, believe it or not, God is invested in our success in every area of our life. God wants you to succeed. If you're a student, he wants you to do well. If you're in your workplace, he wants you to be the best version of yourself in the workplace. He wants you to be the best person with your family. So when your child does something and you're getting angry and God says, pause a little bit, that's God directing your everyday life to take you to a higher place. And so that should be our everyday thing. And I can think of thousands of things. You know, you're driving on the motorway and God says slow down, but you're only driving 80 and the speed limit's 100, but God still says slow down. Amen? That is what we are talking about when we're talking about hearing the word of God every day. Because through those situations and circumstances, those little things that we do, when God, you know, when you're going through half your day and God says that you haven't yet prayed yet, you haven't yet addressed me yet, those are the little things that develop our faith, that develop our walk, that take us from glory to glory and allow us to be prosperous. I know some people don't like about talking about prosperity in the church, but we're going to talk about prosperity today. Because I do believe God wants everyone to be prosperous. That's a little bit different from me standing up and saying, if you give me $100, you'll get a blessing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about if you're obedient to the word of God, you will walk into your blessings. Amen? And that's two very different things. Because God's in the process of leading us to where we want us to be. The problem with that is that we don't see what God sees. Because we live in the now. But God lives outside of time. And so for God, where we find ourselves and where we position ourselves makes perfect sense to where he needs us to be. But for us, we're like, why am I here? What's going on? So by being obedient to God, we allow God to strategically place us in certain parts of our journey. And that's my first point today. Being obedient to the Holy Spirit is a strategic placement for our lives. Even if you don't know that it is. Yeah? Because you can't see what God sees. We've got our own views and visions. And if I think back to my own views, when I was like 18, I wanted to be like a veterinarian and a chef and all this other stuff. And now I'm working in sexual prevention. Two very different places. But at that point in my life, that was my goal. That was my direction. Everything that I did, all the subjects that I chose at university, all the subjects that I chose at high school was because that was the goal and the vision that I had for myself. I probably didn't really know God's vision and where God wanted me to be. I remember some people telling me, oh, you're going to preach around the world one day. And I was like, I'm going to be a chef. I don't know what you're talking about. You know? And so sometimes where we are at, we don't see where God wants us to be. And that's okay. We don't have to see where God wants us to be. If we needed to see that, God would have created us outside of time. But it didn't. He put us there for a reason. And so for that first point, and we're going to look a lot, we're going to talk a lot about Psalms. We're going to be digging, running in and out of the Psalms here. Listening to God's voice allows ourselves to place us in the right position for the right season, regardless of where we think we should be. Psalms 23 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. You know why we receive counsel? We receive counsel when we don't know where we should go, or we are uncertain in our direction. And so in those moments, God is the answer. He's the one that will say, you should go here. And then be like, yeah, but Lord, it's not making sense. I don't see how this fits in. And God's like, well, why did you come to my counsel if you already know what you want to do? Does that make sense? And so God counsels us in the way we should go, regardless of where we think we should go. That's the whole point of receiving counsel. I love Psalms 23 verse 2. It goes, he leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesakes, even though I walk. And I stopped there. Yeah? That's not just about the church. That's your entire journey and your entire life. Everything that you do, he's going to guide you if you allow him to guide you. Pastor Jordan mentioned that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force you anywhere. He's going to tell you something. He's going to give you advice. And it's up to us to take that and steer that and go where he wants us to go. Yeah? We don't have to understand it. I share with you a testimony. A couple of years ago, I was in New Zealand. And I was a broke student, as most students are. Actually, no, that's not true. A lot of students aren't broke. We're blessed. But anyway, I didn't have much money. And my friends and I, we all wanted to go away on holiday because, you know, uni ends and then there's nothing to do and we want to go somewhere. But we had to worry about petrol, we had to worry about accommodation, food, all the stuff. And it was just too expensive to go anywhere. So we thought, oh, you know, we're going to go camping. That's a good thing to do. We can go camping. And so we went camping to this place out in the middle of nowhere. And we got to the campsite and we thought, okay, we're going to make ourselves comfortable. We're going to take a large area because it's free fall. You just go, it's like the middle of the woods. So you just go, you pick out, you spread yourself out. So we thought, okay, we'll spread ourselves out nicely so that we've got a lot of space. We can park our cars, we can build our fire. It's going to be awesome. And then we did that, and then we decided, okay, we're going to go into the city. And we went into the city. And when we came back, somebody had pitched their tent in the middle where we had left space for us to, like, congregate. And I was like, what's going on here? Can't you see there's, like, people? And it was quite interesting because that moment actually changed the entire trajectory of my life. Because that person that camped next to us turned out was a manager for a non-profit organization who worked in sexual harassment prevention. And so we were camping, and we had a fire that was obviously close to their tent. And they said, can we join your fire? And we're like, yeah, sure, come on and join. And after that, about 5 days of camping, she was like, I really think you'd be good at this work. And I was like, what work? She didn't tell me what she does. She was like, sexual abuse prevention. I was like, oh my gosh, what? Me do that work? I ended up doing that work, as some of you may know. But that was one moment that probably did not make sense to me, where somehow God just completely derailed where I thought I was going, because I was going to be a psychologist and I was going to study culture, and I did all of that too, but now I work in prevention. So I did not think, I did not question, I did not know where I was going to go. If you'd asked me 5 years ago if I would be in sexual abuse prevention, I would have laughed at you. But hey, here I am. Because sometimes the situations that we don't even consider is significant to God. Because everything that we do, He's strategic in how He places. The people that He brings into your life, whether you like them or not, are strategically there. If we allow God to use these people and be obedient to Him, He will do some crazy stuff in a good way, yeah? I did pray about it before I accepted the job, though. I did a lot of prayer, and God was like, go on. And to be honest, this person did not just get me into the sexual abuse prevention space, they also are now one of my closest friends, and if I need something, I can go to this person, like, especially around, like work-wise, if I need advice about work, I go to this person. This person's also strategic into how I got my current job. Just because we went camping and we left some space between the tents. Yeah. And God used that to change my entire direction. And I only know how many people God has used me to impact in the world because I'm in that space of sexual abuse prevention and sexual harassment prevention. Unbelievable. But that is what God does. He takes the everyday things, not the someone at church was praying for me and gave me a word and a prophecy and so I went to sexual and I entered into that space. The everyday parts of our life that we do, if we put God the center of all of those things, if we allow Him to shift and direct us, He will move your life around. I look at the scripture and I see He leads me beside quiet waters, He refreshes my soul, He guides me along right paths, and I think that sounds so pleasant. That sounds so good. It sounds very peaceful. Yeah? But not everything that God does is peaceful. When I say peaceful, sometimes He's gonna cause you a bit of stress. It's not a bad thing. Yeah? I'm reminded of the story of Joseph. And the Technicolor Dreamcoat. We all know that story. Yeah? And God said, man, your brothers and family are going to bow down to you. And where did he find himself? In the bottom of a hole. But you see, he didn't understand this, but God did. Because God said, I need to get you from where you are into Egypt. And the only way I'm going to do that is if you end up in the bottom of that hole. So if you are here and you're going through a bit of a rough situation or a troubled situation or things are not as smooth as you would like it to be, don't worry, God's never left you. He's still there. He's still got you. You just can't see what he's doing right now. Or maybe you can, you just have to endure. Amen? But he's still there. He's still supporting you. He's just knitting together pieces that you can't see how they fit together. Because you don't know the bigger picture. It's like building a puzzle without seeing the end result. Right? It's a bit more difficult. Yeah, God's got the end result. He predestined your future. You know, like he said, this is what I'm putting inside of you. So he knows what he's building. We don't. We've got one corner piece here and one other piece here. And we're like, oh, we don't know how this fits together. Yeah. Even when Joseph was thrown into jail. Because then, you know, God said, I needed to get you from year to year. And the only way that I can do it is if you meet a couple of people. And those couple of people are in jail, so I'm going to send you to jail. Yeah? And in that space, he meets people, and he does what he does what God tells him to do. People have dreams. He's got a gift. He interprets that gift using the Holy Spirit, using God, because he's accurate, right? When people ask him, how do you do it? He's like, my God is the true God, and that's how I can do it. And through doing those, he meets someone who ends up being the trajectory to his future. Yeah? Someone in prison. I wonder what he thought. Oh my gosh. And that's how our lives are as well. You're going to meet people in your life, just like I met this friend that's completely changed where I thought I was going to go. But sometimes you just have to be open to doing things a little bit different. Another story that I'm reminded of is David. And we all know David. David got anointed to be king at a very, very young age. And then they sent him back to the shepherd field. Yeah? Back to look after the sheep. And we sometimes talk about David and we say, you know, that while he was in the shepherd field, he limped how to kill the lion and kill the bear, and that gave him the strength to kill Goliath. But when I was doing the study for this word, I thought, God placed him in the field not just so that he could learn about the lion and the bear, but he was strategically placed there because he needed to be set apart from the others that were in the army. So he wasn't allowed to be in the army, he was too young. But I reckon if he was in the army and he was listening to the narrative that the army was speaking, if he saw the same thing that they had, if he had given the army, or if he had been in the army, he would have given them an opportunity to shift his perspective. But he wasn't in the army. So when he came in, he was like, why is everybody scared? If he was there, he would have understood and he would probably have been a little bit scared as well. But he wasn't there. God had placed him somewhere else. And he might have thought, I'm going to be king. I need to be in there. I need to fight. But God had other plans. And it's only when he gets to that point in his life that it starts making sense. Yeah? And then he killed Goliath and everyone knew who he was. But then he still wasn't where he needed to be. I'm going to sneeze. Sorry. I could feel it coming. He still wasn't where he needed to be. And it wasn't even Goliath that got him close to the king. It was his ability to play music. Bless you. I knew it was coming. Yeah? So yeah, he had one victory, and we think that, oh, this victory is going to take him further, but he ends up going back. And it's not the victory that takes him on his next step. It's something completely different. It's his heart of worship. It's his ability to play music. The king got real tormented and he was looking for someone, and someone said, oh, I know this person. He's quite talented with the music. He can come and play for you. And so he became the king's personal musician. And I'm pretty sure he thinks, I'm pretty sure he'd have been thinking, like, I'm supposed to be the king. I'm not supposed to be playing for the king. But that is how God works. He moves us into strategic positions for us to develop or to meet people that will get us to where God needs us to be, not where we want to be. There's a difference between what we want and what God needs for us. Amen? And we have to trust that what God needs for us and wants for us is what's best for us. And that helps us to get over some of the hard situations that we face around. How do I move this way if I'm not sure this way is good? I really want to be there, but God's saying going this way. This way doesn't make sense. This way is difficult. But if God's saying go this way, I just got to trust him. Because the outcome is going to be better than the journey. Does that make sense? Awesome. So some of us just got to not overthink. Sometimes I overthink. But we just got to trust God that he is leading you. And if he gives you things and instructions that you don't understand, that's okay. Because we don't understand a lot of what God says. Okay, moving on. Number two. Listening to the voice of God leads us to a place of safety and protection. I thought this is an interesting one because for many of us, we think safety and protection is savior from destruction. Does that make sense? So we think when God is going to protect me, it means Jordan's going to come up and hurt me, so God's going to stop him, and so now I know I'm protected. Yeah? But I like to think about protection in the sense that it's not preventing this thing that is coming at me in the moment it's coming at, but it's preventing me from being in this position in the first place. Yeah? And so I don't have to be on the battlefield or on the army or be in a really difficult situation for God to come and save me. God can avoid me from being in that situation in the first place. And he does that. He tries to do that, right? That's why I give you the example of, like, if you're driving in a car and God says slow down, that's probably because God sees some stuff that we don't know. So we're just going to, you know, just off the brakes a bit, but it's okay if we drive 60 for 5 minutes. And so sometimes God tells us to do things because he knows the outcome if we continue on our current path. He knows that if we keep going this way, there's going to be something destructive ahead of us. And so he pre-warns us and he says, oh, hold up, stop. Maybe you want to turn. And we can't see what's happening ahead. It looks all good. Looks like the sun is coming up. But God knows it's actually going to rain, so you better take an umbrella. Or a raincoat, whatever you take. Yeah? And so we have to allow ourselves to be sensitive to the things that don't make sense, but make sense. Does that make sense? A lot of sense throwing around here this morning. I want to read you this scripture from Psalms 23, verse 8. Psalms 91, 3-4. Surely he will save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will shield you and rampart you. Psalms 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff shall comfort. Part of God being invested in your success means he's got to look after you. If something takes you out before God gets you there, then that's not success. And so God is not just strategically placing you in positions to get you to where he needs to be. He's also looking after you on that journey, making sure that you don't do something stupid to harm yourself. And unfortunately, we all do something stupid anyway. Yeah? And it's partially because we don't realize what God is doing. It's easy to realize what God is doing when it's right in our face. Yep. When we just narrowly avoid an accident. Wow, God saved me. It happened to me last week, by the way. So when things are clear to us, it makes sense. But when things are not clear, they don't make sense. Yeah? And so we've got to allow ourselves to be led even in those safety situations. Situations where we think, and again, it comes back to the same thing I was talking about positioning ourselves, right? It does not make sense to us. Why is God telling me to slow down? Why am I going this way? Why did he say, don't take your car today, take the train? Yeah? These small things are critical to where God wants us to be. And that's not saying he's not going to stop you if you're in a tough situation and someone's coming at you. He's going to protect you. He's going to do all the stuff that we already know he does. Yeah? If you're facing an army and there's a thing coming, he's going to send the fire from heaven, right? He's going to do all that because we know God will do that. But we can actually avoid those situations in the first place by being obedient to his voice when he tells us to do something. Who's been in a situation where God says something and you don't do it and then you're like, oh, I should have done it. I should have listened. Yeah? We've all been there, right? And so that's what it's like. And so we've got to get familiar with not just hearing his voice, but also familiar with being obedient in through faith. Because that's what it is. It's like, I can't see why you're saying this, but I'm going to take a leap of faith. Amen? And so that's what we should be doing. Knowing that when God does do this, he's actually looking out for us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I think of the story from Joshua chapter 6 with Rahab. And for those of you that don't know the story, the Israelites go into the town and Rahab helps them. And because she helps them, she gets saved and the rest of Jericho is destroyed. Yeah? That would not have happened if she didn't help these people. And so we just got to be like aware that the things that God calls us to do has value that we cannot see. And if we start getting that, if we start recognizing that, oh, we move to another level. Amen? Another story is 1 Kings verse 17. Elijah prophesies that there's going to be no rain. And he gives the prophecy and God says, now go. Go, yeah, I'll look after you. And so he goes. It's only later on he realizes that because there's no rain, people are really upset with him. Yeah? And so that's years later after God's fed him and God says, now go out. And sometimes God does that with us. He tells us stuff without us knowing about this stuff happening in the background that he's trying to protect us from. And so we've got to allow God to protect us from the things that we can't see. God is advocating for our success and our protection. We just got to partner with him and be obedient. Amen? Okay, point three. God will meet your needs. Over and above. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. You may be sitting here and being like, I lack a lot of things. Yeah? But we are on a journey, right? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I thought that was interesting because he doesn't say God will. He says God is able. God is able to do this. That tells me that there's something, it's not that simple. God's not saying this is guaranteed. He's saying he can do this. But you've got to do your part. And lucky for us, our part is just about obedience. It's just about being true to the word and to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I said earlier that, I don't believe in like the prosperity gospel the way some people do it. But I do believe that as a church, we should be prosperous. Each and every one of us, right? But that prosperity is not about having yachts and fancy cars and jets and planes. It's about not being in want or having your needs met. Yeah? And that happens when the church is on the same page. Because if I am blessed, I can be a blessing to you. If you are blessed, you can be a blessing to me. If there's a need that you have that you can't fill, and we all know that we've all got needs that we can't fill, your brother or your sister can help fill those needs. But your ability to fill that needs depends on how you allow God to take you on this journey. Amen. And that sounds a little bit selfish. Because if I want to be blessed, you've got to be obedient. You know, like if I want my blessing, you've got to do good. And that to some people can be a bit selfish. But I do believe that it's not about me and you. It's about us. So for us to be blessed, we have got to be obedient to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit and to His guidings. Because who knows that we've all got skills and abilities that the other person doesn't have. Yeah. There is strength in diversity. Yeah. Can you imagine if we were all the same? Oh my gosh. Yeah? The church, there's a blessing for each and every one of us. An abundant blessing that God will outpour. But we have to be on a journey to Him to get us to that place to receive that. Because if we're not, we're going to squander the blessings. Yeah? So there's preparation that God needs to do for us to be able to not just receive, but to hold and what's the word that I'm looking for? Not serve. To be a steward of the blessing that God has given you. Because who knows, to be a steward means that the blessing is not yours. It's God's. And He gives us this blessing, and our job is to steward that. But we can't steward a blessing unless we have been educated and trained on how to manage, receive, and work with it. Yeah? And so the journey that you are on is about equipping you for that destiny and for the blessing that God's got in store. The blessing for Joseph was not that he would be bound by his brothers. That was a glimpse of the future. The blessing was that he would be in the house of Pharaoh and he would be a person of influence. The blessing is not just money. It's position. It's authority. It's power. In order to be able to facilitate and steward that blessing, he needed to learn a few lessons of humility. The young man went around to his brothers and bragged that they were going to bow down to him. God sold him into slavery. That's a good lesson to learn. God said, I'm going to let you be in charge of all of Egypt. So what did he do? You were a slave in Potiphar's house, and you will learn how to manage my affairs. For some of us, we have gone through areas and journeys of our life. God is teaching us lessons that are critical to you being able to hold the blessing that God has in store for you. And then have the wisdom with that blessing to distribute it to those who need it. Because it's not just about us. I said that God is invested in your success, because if you are a successful Christian, you can testify to the glory and the wonders of God. Amen. There are things that the church needs to do that we can't do unless we reach certain parts of our journey. And so my encouragement this morning to everyone is that hearing the voice of God is not just about this building. It's not just about, oh, God gave me a word to pray for this person. God told me to give this to that person. It's about the everyday little things that you do. It's the when you go to work. It's the how you talk to people. It's the you're traveling to work. It's the people that you meet along the way. It's the small steps that don't mean anything to you but mean everything to God. It's those moments that you went thinking, oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to do this one day. And God was like, no, I want you to do this one day. That's what it means to be obedient to the voice of God. Not the big things, get up there and preach the word, but the little things. Do this. Do that. Drive here. Take this road. And for some of us, we think, oh, that's so insignificant. Why does God care whether I take the highway or the motorway or whatever other way? I don't know. I'm not God. That's a question for you to ask him. Yeah? But just trust that the directions and the journeys that he's going to place in your life is going to be significant for where you're going to be. You might say go that way and you meet someone, kind of like me going camping. Yeah? And that's what God wants. God doesn't make it easy God doesn't make it difficult for us. I mean, sometimes the things he's like, oh my gosh, Lord, why? But by doing those little things, we achieve great things. Because nothing big is made without anything small. Have you seen some of those Lego structures that people make? Massive, beautiful architectures. Even if you just look at normal architecture, massive palaces and castles. They're sort of molded, God and just plopped out on the sky and went, boom, here's the Taj Mahal. No, that was put together by every little brick and mortar placed at a certain place, at a certain position, designed a certain way. And our walk with God is exactly that. It's placing one brick next to another brick. One brick in front of him. You see, God's got the plans, and he looks at the plans, and he goes, Darren, you got to put this brick over here. And all we got to do is listen. Sometimes we put it in the wrong place, and then we wonder why it doesn't look like the Taj Mahal. Yeah? But that's what God is like. He's the architect. He's got the plans. We are his workers. And everything that he tells us to do is shaping and positioning things that will take us to where he wants us to be. And that's a place of prosperity. And that's available to every one of us. Amen. I just had a word pop into my head. I just feel like there's someone in the house. I don't know if it's someone or multiple people that's really struggling and it's really difficult and it's really hard, and nobody actually understands what you're going through. Just know, I just feel like God's saying, like, look, I just want to validate where you're at. I just sense that God's saying, look, I know it's difficult. I know you're struggling. I know it's hard. Nobody understands. Everybody thinks that you just be this way. But God's just saying, look, I just want to validate where you are because it is difficult. It is hard. But he's still with you. And he's not done with you yet. I mean, I don't know who that is for, but that's for you. Take that. Because our struggles are real. But so is God. Amen. Let me close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning that you have got every part of our journey mapped out. That your unfailing love for us is guiding us along a journey that will lead us to prosperity and blessing. That you are protecting us and guiding us, looking after us. And that even if we sometimes misstep, that your unfailing love doesn't change. That you continue to walk with us and guide us and direct us. I thank you, Lord, that you have placed so much value in this house that we can not just be a blessing to each other and one another, but that we can be a blessing to the greater valley that is Wainui and the city of Lauahat. I thank you for the jewels and the gems and the talents that are in this place. And I thank you, Lord, that you are like a potter shaping and sharpening and guiding and directing and almost chiseling away to reveal the greatness that sits in all of us. I thank you, Lord, that sometimes that chiseling can feel like we're having parts of us pulled aside, but I thank you, Jesus, that the end product is going to be better than what you started at. And Lord, we just want to acknowledge you throughout this entire journey. Through every turn and every person that you've placed in our lives and every tough decision that we had to make, we thank you for your counsel and your guidance and your wisdom. And we pray that as we continue to walk with you and as we continue to be obedient to your guidance and your voice, you will teach us what it means to be followers of your Holy Spirit. You will teach us what it means to be a blessing to others. You will teach us what it means to step out in faith in the little things just as much as the big things. So we just pray and acknowledge you, and we thank you that you are taking all of us on a journey. We pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.